Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 my fellow treasure seekers. Welcome to Aunt Lee's Treasures. I am your host, Aunt Lee. In case you missed me, because I missed you, I've been sick for the last week, but I'm feeling better and stronger, so let's get started. Today we start our series titled Kings and Queens, Let's Talk It Out. This series will cover everything about relationships, delivered by Kenyon and Takaria Martin, titled Love's Anatomy, Part 1, Safety. A series through my church, Linked Up Church in Atlanta. In our first of four episodes, you will listen to our guest speakers feed our souls with sound, God-guided advice on the topics of safety, with the hopes of touching many who find themselves needing a rejuvenated view on their issues of love. It gives me immense pleasure to be a partaker of exceptional company and receiver of such sound advice to grow on. I pray it gives you all another avenue to solve your love situation before you decide to call it quits and let Satan win at his job of seeking, killing, destroying what God has put together. First of all, the definition of anatomy, the study of the structure or internal workings of something, the separating or dividing into parts for detailed examination. First of all, you cannot keep or excel in the relationships, romantic or otherwise, until you are matured in life, love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 through 8 in the NIV tells us, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. First of all, there are four pillars of love: safety, security, trust, empathy. Your ability to actively receive all of someone, it is receiving their complexities, frailties, strengths, and idiosyncrasies without question. It gives them the ability to bring to you their dreams, successes, flaws, and mistakes without fear or shame. In safety, you receive them for who they are and who they are becoming. The four areas of safety that are often overlooked in relationships, but have the ability to build up or break down the people we love: being safe to be themselves, being safe to make mistakes, being safe to have a voice, being safe from outside influences, being safe to be themselves. Love is not self-seeking. For married couples, create an environment where your spouse can be safe with you is rejecting the expectation that they are going to be just like you. Blended families, being safe to be themselves means allowing the space for everyone to grow into the new family. Singles, being safe to be yourselves, a state of being healed, being comfortable in your own skin, a place of receiving your self-value. And if you're single with children, being safe to be yourself is everything that we've mentioned already, with the added responsibility of providing an environment of safety for your child. It's never allowing them to feel like they can't become everything they were destined to be just because they don't have a family that looks like their friends, you know, absent parents. Being safe to make mistakes. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Married couples,
Making mistakes is where your spouse must be the safest. They are their most naked and vulnerable when they make mistakes, and they must be able to bring their failures to you without feeling degraded by you. Blended families. The beauty of mistakes in a blended family is the opportunity to have sensitive conversations. The inability to make mistakes in a new environment sets a precedent that no one in the house can come to you or that you can't be talked to. For singles, being safe to make mistakes means you are not living in a perpetual state of self-punishment for all the mistakes and bad choices you ever made. Guilt and shame misled and misinform your choices in life and relationships. And for those singles with children, you are not punishing yourself for your mistakes and making it safe for your children to make mistakes. Being safe to have a voice. Love does not dishonor others. For married couples, allowing your spouse to have a voice in your marriage and in your household cancels out arrogance and pride, and it protects their position with you. And for those blended families, creating safety for everyone to have a voice begins with building a relationship with everyone in the home. When you shut down everyone's voice, you've crippled the home. And for you singles, practice exercising the muscle that is your voice. It's learning to speak up for yourself, learning to say no, learning to express your likes and dislikes without apology. And if you have children, singles, is also maintaining openness to your child's expressions and emotions with boundaries. Maintain a place where they can come to you with their concerns. Being safe from outside influence, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Married couples, nobody should have more or the same level of access to you than your spouse. You two are the nucleus of your relationship. The nucleus's job is to maintain the integrity of your relationship. For blended families, due to the disconnected nature of blended family, it's important for everyone to pull together as a unit. Both parents must stand together. Singles, your relationship with God is the most important relationship that you will ever cultivate. Anything that comes between you and your relationship with God is an outside influence, and it's not safe. So you singles with children, being safe from outside influences includes protecting your relationship with God as well as protecting your children from people that have not been deemed safe for them. And number one, if you cannot trust them with your social security number, debit card PIN number, or your bank account information, you cannot trust them with your child. Before we get started, if you would like to hear more from my church beyond this series, please go to linkedupchurch.com with Pastors Joel and Tricia Gregory. They are the most anointed couple inside and out that I have ever known. Their love of God shows in every way. So if you ever visit or listen in on a sermon, I promise you, you will be truly and completely fulfilled. Proudly presenting Kenyon Kariya Martin with their titled segment, Love Anatomy Part 1, Safety.
Good evening, family. It's so good to see you out here. We are excited to have you. Listen, we are excited to have the Martins. It's going to be, if you allow it, this will be a very good, productive, effective, and just penetrating time together. This is a time for us to grow in all of our relationships, regardless of your marital status. It's not about that as much as it's just about knowing and understanding the love's anatomy. And I'm just very excited about the information that they're going to share. So without further ado, I'll pass it on to my beloved husband so he can do what he does. Yeah. How are you all doing tonight?
Can y'all do me a favor and just put a big smile on your face right now? I am so excited about this entire month, but in particular, believe it or not, Wednesday nights, because this couple is thorough. They put their information together. I just love how they're so organized in their thinking. I just think you all will be abundantly blessed. And so we're actually going to get them up early tonight. So we'll be right here in this section. Yeah. So what you'll see on these easels, we're going to sit you in sections that is your season of life. And so once they get done ministering, we have discussion questions for every season of life represented on these easel boards up here. And so we're going to have you all just turn around and have some discussion among yourselves. We'll talk about this again when it's time to do that, but we're asking you to group it about with about 8 to 10 people in your circle, and then let's break these questions down and just really have some great discussions. Ideally, we want couples to meet more couples, singles to meet more singles, singles without children to meet more singles without children, blended families to meet more blended families so that we can build more relationships at Linked Up Church. You all like that? Does that sound good?
So please be sure to sit in your distinguished areas. They're divided into 5 different areas, I think. 4. So please be sure to sit. And so right here, I see traditional family. And so singles are over here. Huh?
Let people choose where they are.
Let's move on to the segment.
Any further ado, Linked Up Church, would you all help me welcome the Martins tonight as they come and bless us richly? Come on, you all can do better than that. Let's give it
to you. All right. Building blocks. Let's get started.
Good evening. So, y'all pray for me. I'm clumsy. So if I fall, y'all just stretch your hands up this way. As he said, we're Kenyon and Sakara. Martin, he's Kenyon. I'm Sakara. And we're faith-based relationship coaches and pastoral counselors. We deal with a lot of relationships, a lot of broken people. We've talked to people all over the world, all of different cultures of life, and no matter where they are, whether they're in Canada, whether they're in the United States, or whether they're in Africa, we deal with a lot of the same issues that come from across the airwaves. So from men, we always hear the simple question of, what can I make her do to act right? What can I make her do to not leave a lot of times? And from women, we typically get the question, what do I need to be in order to make him love me? What do I need to be in order to make him treat me the way that I need to be treated? And unfortunately, that's not how love works. That's not how relationships work. And what we're here to do is really help you identify what love is supposed to look like. Because no matter what you try to shape shift yourself into being, you can never make anybody do anything for you. No matter what you do, you can never force anyone to do anything that they do not want to do. And so we want to help you understand what love looks like so that you can be the type of person that thrives in a healthy relationship, but also it's a demonstration of what love looks like for the people that as an individual, as a single, that you're going to attract, but in your marriage, you'll begin to reflect and demonstrate what love looks like one to another. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why we're talking about love anatomy. Really, it's, you know, and I'll get to the definition of anatomy in a second. But really, if y'all don't know us, Kenyon and I are lovers of Grey's Anatomy, so that's... don't let Kenyon lie to you. He watches it and he cries, amen.
No.
And so... I'm just kidding, but really, the definition of anatomy really sticks out to us because if you look at it, it's the study of the structure or internal workings of something, and it's the separating or dividing of parts for detailed examination. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to break love down over the next 4 weeks, the internal workings of it, how it works in relationships, and breaking it down week by week and how you can easily reflect that for yourselves, what you can look for in other people, and how you can function more healthily in a marriage.
Right. I forgot to tell you all that this information
is also in the YouVersion Bible app for tonight. You can just go to, oh yeah, that's the release right there. And then also the Linked Up app. So you can go to the event section on the YouVersion Bible app, Linked Up Church. These notes are right there. Also the Linked Up Church app.
Absolutely. No problem. And you're going to want to go there because there's a lot of information we got to give to you over a short period of time. So as we go into the anatomy of love, first we got to look at what love is. We got to see kind of what it looks like, okay? And one of the things I realized that you can't maintain or excel in relationships, romantic or otherwise, without matured love. We know that love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a seed, which means that it needs to be matured and understood and grown into. And so with that being the case, what we do is we help people grow into that. But first, we have to identify that. And we're going to go to a very familiar place in the Bible. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. That's the love chapter,
it's
right?
Love.
But this is very important. So I'm going to read out of the NIV, and I'm going to go through it really quickly, but I want you to just kind of get it and understand that this is what love looks like, all right? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not a lot of things, isn't it? It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're dissecting. And I'm going to be honest with you, just being me, I can do some of that all the time. Or I can do all the time. I'm going to be working with a little bit of that, but I don't know I might not be the only imperfect person here, but I can't do all of this all the time. I can't. Anybody else with me here? Okay. The reason why we can't do all of this all the time is because it's a maturing process. It's a growing process. It's a way in which we learn to be genuinely and authentically with or without a partner. This is not just about marriage. It's about relationships. Does that make sense? So in order to cut this down, what we found in every relationship that we've had the privilege and honor of counseling, coaching, or talking to, singles, married, it doesn't matter. Blended families, it doesn't matter. That we've come to what we call four pillars of things that they're missing in their marriage, chasing love. Does that make sense? Okay, and those four pillars of love are safety, security, trust, and empathy. It's real simple, but we're going to actually break these down for you so that we can, over the next 4 weeks actually, so that we can actually have good conversation about them and have good revelation about them, if that makes sense. So let's go ahead and define. We're going to start with safety tonight, okay? Tonight is all about safety, all right?
All about safety. And just so you know, again, we're going to give you a lot of information this evening. Make sure you have it on the app because it's not something that you can necessarily implement all in one night.
Right.
We wanted to plant a seed in you and begin to change how you think and how you operate as it pertains to other people. Amen. So safety, as we define it, is your ability to actively receive all of someone. It's receiving their complexities, their frailties, and idiosyncrasies without question. It gives them the ability to bring you their dreams, successes, flaws, and mistakes without fear or shame. And you receive them for who they are and who they are becoming.
Amen.
Anybody else want to feel safe in here?
No, that's a lot of words, but let's combine it all in one question that we can always ask ourselves whenever it comes to relationships. Regardless of who it is, will they be safe with me? And many times we think they will because we won't hit them. We don't talk down to them all the time. So perhaps they'll be safe with me. But there are four areas which we also found under safety that people miss because we're only looking on the surface. We're looking at tangible things. These four areas are they safe to be themselves around me? Are they safe to make mistakes around me? Are they safe to have a voice with me? That's a huge one. Are they safe from outside influences? That's an insidious one. Okay? So let's go ahead and get started with the first one. Being safe to be themselves as we cut open love and take a look inside, it's love, it means love is not self-seeking. Okay? So let me see. Where's my Mary people at? Mary Flo. Oh, okay, okay. I want to make sure I'm looking in the right direction here when I talk to you, because we're about to talk to you. Okay? Married couple. That means creating an environment where your spouse can be safe with you, and rejecting the expectation that they are going to be just like you. The problem that we find in many marriages, no matter how old they are, is that we walk in them with our own expectations. And you got two people from two totally different home cultures, from two totally different worlds, walking in ready to colonize the other world. We chase them because they're different, but once we got them, we want them to submit and turn into us. And we miss everything about them, and we make it unsafe for them to be themselves around us. And if they can't be themselves around us, they won't want to be around us. Does that make sense?
It's rejection.
Yes.
One of the things we've talked about in the past is that when somebody has an organ transplant, one of the things that happens is that you have to take anti-rejection medication so your body does not reject that organ, right? What happens with marriage is, honestly, your spouse has been transplanted to you by God. And by not allowing them to be who they are, you begin to reject them, and your marriage begins to die, a slow and painful death. And so being safe to be yourself within your marriage gives your spouse the opportunity to grow and live together as opposed to die slow and painfully.
Amen. Then blended families, where are we located? Yes, we love them, okay? Blended families, you have an additional extra component because you two dated, but the children weren't a part of that process. And so when you're making it safe for everyone to be themselves, include them in that process, because this is new for everyone. This is very new. And so you have all these people, or a few of them, trying to create something new, but they're still stuck in their norm. Don't take it personal when a child sticks to the norm. Don't take it personal when parenting sticks to the norm. There are ways to get around it. And to just be honest with you real quick, studies show it takes 5 to 7 years to find that level of equilibrium and safety within a marriage, I mean, within a blended family. So it's going to take some time, but you can expedite it if you listen to this, all right? That's going to be very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, then we're going to get into the singles. Single people, raise your hand. Where you at? Singles are exciting. Listen, because there is nothing, I love seeing singles excited and not downtrodden and downcast. There is nothing wrong with you for being single. And so one of the biggest things that we try to help singles understand first and foremost with being safe to be yourself is that you have to make it a state of being, okay? It's being comfortable in your own skin. It's being able to accept yourself for who you are and being able to walk and own in that confidence, okay? What happens a lot of times with the singles, and I'll speak for women because that's all I know. A lot of times for women, what we do is that we have been, number one, either raised in an environment where we're expected to meet somebody else's expectations, which then causes us to get into relationships seeking to find ourselves based on someone else's expectations of us. And so what happens is when relationships break up, when we break up, we're left without an identity. Not only not feeling safe to be ourselves, but good God, we don't even know who we are anymore by the end of that process. So as an individual, being safe to be yourself with you starts with you learning you, letting God identify you, finding who you are in Christ. That way no one else can come in and colonize that later on, okay? As a single parent, and this is really with all parents, everything that we said here applies to you, but on top of that, allowing your child to be safe to be themselves as well. As a single parent, as a formal single parent, I will be able to tell you that we have a tendency to feel like we are handicapped because our family does not look like somebody else's right now. because our children, we make ourselves believe that our children are handicapped and at a deficit. What happens is we remove our children's right to be themselves because now we're projecting that feeling onto them. And your child begins to feel like, oh, my God, there must be something wrong with me because mom makes me feel like I don't have this, or even dad, I apologize. And so being safe to be yourself as an individual, pass that down to your children as well and allow them to be who they are and who God called them to be without any fear of being handicapped or removed away from or cast away.
Right. And let me say this. If you do have a child and you're single, that is not your accountability because they failed the dating process. Stop taking responsibility and overcompensating and trying to build your child or looking at your child like they're missing anything. They're not. They have the best in you. Does that make sense? All right.
All right. We're going to go down to the next one, being safe to make mistakes.
Mm.
And if we look at that scripture, love keeps no record of wrong, basically, okay? So in our marriages, being safe to make mistakes is where your spouse is the most vulnerable with you. It is the place where they're their most naked and open, and they have to be in a position where they can make mistakes without feeling like they are going to be degraded by you within those mistakes. And it's the same thing within a blended family as well.
Absolutely. Now, I want to make sure you understand this, because I remember talking to a couple one day, and they were saying, we're always doing right, we're doing okay, until we start arguing. Why can't we stop that? I don't want to argue no more. I want this to be over. I don't want to do that. And so what they did was they measured their marriage, how good their marriage was, by how many arguments they had. The problem with that is that we misunderstand what mistakes in these arguments are. These are opportunities for intimacy. Your spouse is not more naked outside of physical intimacy than when they make their mistakes. And if they can come to you and walk up to you, hands open, and saying, this is me, when you receive them and let them know that they are safe with you. If you reject them because you're frustrated by the mistake, then it lets them know never to come to you again. These things build up. I'm not saying you're not allowed to be frustrated. What I am saying is you handle it as, we'll handle that later, but let me do this. Go ahead.
I have an example for that. So being safe to make mistakes, I'll put the onus on me.
Okay.
I have a tendency to leave stuff everywhere. I'm a hurricane. So I will go into the kitchen, make food, leave everything out where it is because I'm always rushing, always trying to get to do something. Kenyon and I first got married. It's funny now, but it was comical at how personal he took that. He's former military. He's from the Midwest. His mama was a neat freak. It was like, why are you trying to kill me? Leaving stuff all over the house. You leave a mayonnaise out. You got eggs everywhere. What is happening in my house? By the time it was done, all of a sudden, the way initially he would come at me very angry, very hurt, very offended. And I'm like, I couldn't receive that because of how he was approaching me. Oh, you yelling at me? So what? One of your eyes is bigger than the other? That I don't blame you. I don't come yelling at you. What your eye look like? All of a sudden, it caused these big frictions. And praise God for a praying husband, because what I began to notice after that was that all of a sudden he would come to me, babe, I saw you left the mayonnaise out. I just wanted to let you know I put it up for you. Babe, I went ahead and just cleaned up the kitchen. I saw you was busy, so I just went ahead and did that. What that did was it opened me up more to say, okay, wow, he's actually receiving my mistakes. I don't want to let him down. So now when I cook eggs, I put the eggs back because I don't want him to take it personally. I never want him to feel like I am intentionally doing this to him, but it started with how he approached me in my mistakes. All right?
Okay. So with blended families, you have additional components, okay? The beauty of mistakes in a blended family is the opportunity to have sensitive conversation. Okay? Everybody's going to make a mistake in a blended family. Everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we have miscommunication, misinformation, mischaracterization, misinterpretation. Everything is just going to, because you're looking for you inside of a strange area, okay? When you don't allow mistakes to happen, it will shut down your home quicker than you ever think. After marriage, we know that statistics say about what, 50% of marriages last, 50% don't. That statistic gets worse and worse and worse each time you do it, okay? And so you want to set it up, you want to set up your home to win. And the best way to set up your home to win is to open yourself up to mistakes. These are the opportune times to get to know someone in their mistakes, and they want to be known when they're...
Want to end the call with the merge? You can end the call from just then.
Yes,
the rowdy crowd. You got to know them.
Being safe to make mistakes means you are not living in a perpetual state of self-punishment for all the mistakes and bad choices you've already made. Guilt and shame mislead and misinform your choices in life and relationships. I want to break something down for you really quickly. The difference between guilt and shame is guilt is what you've done. Shame is saying, I am that mistake that I've done. You are already forgiven. Does that make sense? You don't need to carry that cross with you. That hung somewhere else, okay? Forgive yourself. Let it go. Because if you don't, you'll find ways to say, okay, I messed up here. Let me be better over here. And you'll walk from relationship to relationship. It could be a parent. It could be a friend. It could be a significant other. It doesn't matter. You'll go from one place to another trying not to make certain mistakes, but calling yourself that mistake, and then eventually accepting what you get because you think you deserve it, and you don't. That makes sense? Let that go.
Amen. And the same thing with children, whether you're single with children or parents, just in your children, it's that same thing. Not punishing yourself for your mistakes. Allowing your children to see you make mistakes and clean it up, right? We don't hide our mistakes from our kids anymore. They can see us fall, but they also can see us get back up. And in that, they then see how to make mistakes and be able to get back up, being able to not cause them unnecessary anxiety because as parents, we can give them anxiety by not allowing them to feel like they are human, basically, right?
Amen.
So we're going to the next one because, we long-winded, so we're trying to hurry up through this. Alrighty, being safe to have a voice.
Okay, being safe to have a voice is a very big one when it comes to relationships, all right? Let's go back to our anatomy here. This is love does not dishonor the other. Love does not dishonor others. Married couples, we're talking to you right now. Allowing your spouse to have a voice in your marriage and in your household or not allowing your spouse Oh, I'm sorry. Allowing your spouse to have a voice in your marriage and in your household cancels out arrogance and pride and protects their position with you. Let me kind of tell you what I mean by that. Everyone who works have a position, and you know based on your position who you can talk to and who you can't. Many of us don't have immediate access or the attention of the CEO. Another example, all of our positions as citizens of the United States of America may not have immediate access to or the attention of the President of the United States of America because of our position, okay? But those who do have immediate access, council, cabinet, those people who sit next to them, they can knock on the door and they can get in there. Does that make sense? So
they have
this ear. So with our married folks, when your spouse requests your attention, when your spouse requests you to hear them, if you shut that down, then that dishonors and devalues their position as a spouse. And it's only a matter of time before they'll stop being active in that position, if that makes sense. Okay?
Yeah, basically, it's influence. It's a position of allowing your spouse's voice to influence the home. Male or female, husband or wife, it's giving them that access to you from that place of influence.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Also with blended families, again, creating safety for everyone to have a voice begins with building a relationship with everyone in the home. When you shut down everyone's voice, you've crippled the home. I think, so the extra added component with blended families is don't shut down each other, but also don't shut down the children. Don't shut them down. It's going to be hard because the step may not know, the step parent may not know. The biological parent may seek to protect or seek to do things the way they've been doing them.
Right.
But these, again, especially during mistakes, these, again, are opportunities to get to know them. There's actually a way to, if we have time, we'll talk about it. We probably don't, but we'll talk about it later. There's ways to navigate that. What you want to make sure of is that everyone has a voice, because if everyone has a voice in your home, and I'm talking about with kids, there's limitations.
With boundaries.
There are boundaries. So there's, there's, let's say this, everyone has a voice of expression and to be vulnerable at any one time. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
Okay.
To our singles, whether you have children or not, one of the things that we want to make it clear is that your voice is a muscle, especially in the dating process and even in your workplace and work environments and things like that. As an individual dating out here, one of the easiest things to do is prove that we can be accommodating. Prove, for ladies, a lot of times we are asked to be submissive even before marriage comes in and silence our voice. But understand your voice is a muscle that you must exercise. Your likes, your dislikes, what you want, what you don't want. Because if you don't access your voice in the dating process, understand you can lose access to your voice in a marriage. All of a sudden you're married to somebody who said, well, back there you liked football. Back there you liked when I told you what to do. Back there you didn't mind when I did this or that we always had to hang out with my family and not yours. All of a sudden you get married and your voice is devalued because you did not access it in the dating process, hoping they would respect it once you get to marriage. I'll tell you right now, it don't work.
Right.
It does not work. Unfortunately, I have been married before. I have practiced that. It did not work, and I'm here today with my wonderful husband. Amen.
Now, for men, we won't leave you out because it also goes. It is also true for you, too. One thing about men is that leadership does not mean dictatorship, but you still have a voice. It doesn't mean that you are not to be heard, or it doesn't mean that you just kind of sit back and not have something to say. But your leadership is exercised in having a voice, in making decisions. And what I found, there's nothing sexier to a young lady than some man who knows what he wants and where he's going. Does that make sense? You want to have those things. And begin and practice those. Doesn't mean it drowns out hers, but it does mean that you have your own individual voice that matters itself. Make sense?
Amen. All right, let's go down to the next one where it says we're going to be safe from outside influences. In that scripture, again, it says love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. The key word in there is protects. As a couple, married couples, being safe from outside influences says that you are basically protecting your relationship and your marriage from anything, foreign and domestic. You are protecting your marriage from anything that can infiltrate the nucleus that is your marriage, okay? We always say you are the nucleus, you're the center of your relationship, and the job of the nucleus, I Googled it, it's to protect the integrity of that organism, of that cell. And so whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, and blended families, this even means your children. First and foremost, you protect your relationship by standing together, two as one. No one should ever be able to infiltrate that. You set boundaries, we set limits, and we make sure that even in the home, our children see that we are a unit. That way, as we approach things, as we move towards decisions in the home, no child feels like they can circumvent one and get to the other because they see we're not unified in our decisions. As a unit, outside influences is everybody. And then into a blended family, of course, in that home, you want to begin to create practices that blend you all together, but it starts at the head. Amen?
Amen. And then our singles, your relationship with God is the most important relationship that you will ever cultivate. Anything that comes between you and your relationship with God is an outside influence, and it is not safe. Now, there's not a lot to add to that. We've all been single.
I got something.
Go ahead.
One of the things that it's easy to do is say that because somebody has potential, I've had so many friends, if they just get saved, they're going to be good for the Lord.
If they can just be safe, I see their strength. They're going to do it. So I'm going to go over here and minister to them. I'm going to go over here and minister with them. I'm going to touch and agree with them and see if I can pull them over to the other side. Once again, listen to Sakara. It does not work. Understand it is not safe for anything or anyone. And that's relationships, that's friendships, that's even coworkers, the environments that we set ourselves in that are a threat to our relationship with God is not safe for us anywhere.
Amen. And then singles with children, being safe from outside influences includes protecting your relationship with God as well as protecting your children from people that have not been deemed safe for them. It's unfortunate, but when you're going through the dating process, you will have people who try to woo you by creating a relationship with your child. You want to withdraw your child from that. And what we say is we treat your child like something that you hide. Your debit card number, your Social Security number, your last year taxes, I don't know, whatever it is that you want to keep out of the reach of anybody else that you don't trust, treat your child just like that. Because when you do, they stay safe. And then when you're able to open up that checking account to someone who is committed to you,
your husband or wife,
then you're ready to begin the process of creating the relationship between them. You should never let anybody leave with your child. But also, with influences, you also want to look at outside influences like exes, like grandparents, and anyone who has anything to say about what you're doing in your life, okay? That's very important because what we found is that there are a lot of people, there are a lot of spectators who are an armchair coach in your life wanting you to do certain things, but they're not pitching in for it. Does that make sense? So you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself from the influence of anyone else, but those who keeps your home safe, including with your child, okay?
Amen.
Now, I know that was a lot of information. Here's what we're about to do next. We got a little bit of time, so we're going to break out into discussion groups. Is that right?
We are going to break out into discussion groups, your connect group.
Good evening, family. It's so
thank you for joining me on some meat and potatoes with Kenyon and Takara Martin from Linked Up Church. That was some good meat and potatoes. If you guys want to elaborate on it, hit me up at auntleestreasures.com and leave me your comments. We might have another episode about something else pretty soon. I'm feeling a lot better, so give me a minute to get it together and we'll get this train rolling again. Until next time, remember to be a blessing to someone on purpose. Ciao for now. I love you.